good to be here tonight to share God's Word with you. It's always a privilege and a blessing to present God's Word. I never take it lightly. And so we're at it again here tonight. You can turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy, book of 2 Timothy. And a very logical thing to say here tonight is that a person can only go as far as he's taught, right? It's logical. It makes sense. If you're only taught how to add two and two, you're not going to go any further because nobody's taught you what two and three is, okay? If you were taught that there's a boogeyman in the closet when you were a kid, then you're going to go to bed thinking there's a boogeyman in the closet because that's what you've been taught, right? If you've been taught that the only way to Chicago is by train and there's no other way, then until you learn more, you're going to think that there's only one way to go to Chicago. And that's by choo-choo train, right? So a person can only go as far as he's taught. It's pretty simple. There's two innate fears in a child when they're born. One is a fear of falling, and the other, fear of loud noises. Now, we as musicians have conquered the second one. But, you know, there's two innate fears, and those fears really don't have to be taught. All right. You ever hear do you ever see a baby just startle when they hear a loud noise? It's just an innate fear. Okay. Doesn't mean that they were taught it. One thing that we've been taught since children, since we were little, and I think this goes for probably everybody in the whole wide universe, is fear. Okay. And the title of this teaching is Enemy Number One, Fear. Okay. And that is the devil's primary function, is to put fear into the lives of people. And he does it in several ways. Because if he can put fear into you where you don't believe and you turn away from God, that's exactly what he wants us to do. So we've been taught how to fear, which isn't a good thing, right? But we've just kind of fallen into it growing up. I was taught there was a boogeyman in the closet. I think my sister always used to say, watch out for the boogeyman in the closet. So I'd go to bed thinking, I hope that closet door doesn't open. There's a boogeyman in there, and I need to go to sleep. Right? How many thought that? How many thought there was kind of boogeymans in the closet? Hi, Lynn, come on in. And so, you know, these fears, I mean, that's a ridiculous fear, but it is, growing up, it's a fear. And then they accumulate. You know, you accumulate. They accumulate. Fear is the believer's worst enemy, bar none. The believer's worst enemy. It's the opposite of believing, actually, in a way. It's believing and fear. Faith, fear. It defeats all the promises of God. If you're going to the Word of God to believe His Word, you know what? If you have fear, that's going to hold you back from believing God's Word. So it's going to defeat the promises of God in you. It's not that the promises of God in His Word are defeated. We know that they're not. But you will defeat yourself, and you will allow the devil to defeat you by having fear and not believing the promises of God. Therefore, it comes right back to you. Okay. The undynamic trio. Did you ever hear of the dynamic duo?
Yeah.
I think that was Batman, right? Well, this is the undynamic trio. The undynamic trio is doubt, worry, and fear. Okay, doubt, worry, and fear. The undynamic and very unpopular in the church, at least we like to believe, undynamic trio. And those doubts, worries, and fears lead to one thing. Unbelief. You just don't believe. And there the devil's got you already. We've doubted some things, haven't we? Okay, sometimes you can doubt and get right back on track and say, wait a minute, God's Word says this. You can doubt and you can start worrying, but worrying is not going to change a darn thing, is it? I know a lot of people that worry and their lives never change, and they worry more and more. And then they're full of what?
Fear.
Fear. Doubt, worry, and fear. See? So you have those three, the combination of doubt, worry, and fear, which brings you to the point of not believing God's Word. That's why it's the devil's greatest tool, is fear, so we can stay away from believing God. And he's actually done a pretty good job at it through the years, hasn't he? Look at today, in this very time that we stand right now. Right? I mean, that's a perfect example. And I didn't do this, put this together for that particularly, but it fits, you know. If the mask fits, wear it. Okay. That was no charge for that. That's... Did you know that fear is partial mental breakdown? Turn to, what I say, 2 Timothy? Yes. All right, 2 Timothy. And I'm going to put these on here. Okay. 2 Timothy, and in chapter 1, look at verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of what?
Fear.
God hath not given us the spirit of fear. So that's, I mean, you could just come to the conclusion right there. If it didn't come from God, then it has to come from something else. And what is the other god of this world? The devil. Okay, Satan. He's the other god of this. He's the god of this world. Okay, the god that people can't see, don't know about, don't believe, and don't care about. The general population of the world really don't care, doesn't care about whether there's a devil or not. Okay, they basically don't believe it. But the God, our God, has not given us a spirit of fear. But, there's a big but there. But of power, he's given us the power, the spirit of power, and of love, and of a what?
Sound mind.
So just these things are kind of opposite of the fear. Okay, the fear comes from the devil, but God has given us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. So logically, when you have fear in your life, it's a partial mental breakdown because this is all in your mind, okay? Your mind is breaking down. It's a breakdown of what God has actually designed for our mind to be. God did not design our mind to hold fear. It wasn't designed that way. He designed it to hold power and love and a sound mind. That's how he designed it because it's from God. But the adversary breaks in. He breaks things down by what you look at, what you listen to, who you listen to, people you hang around with, right? And then what you say. And he breaks down what you have in your mind. So it's a partial mental breakdown. Yeah, and you know what a mental breakdown is. Okay, so we don't want to go there, do we? So he's given us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. And in 1 John... Just a few pages forward here. 1 John, the epistle of 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, right? He's love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. If you live in love, you're living in God and God in him. Herein where? In this love, the love of God, is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. You can't find fear in love. It's an impossibility. But perfect love casts out fear. Right? So that's what the people need in this world. Because fear hath what? Torment. Have you ever been tormented of something? You know why? Because you had fear in your life of something. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. You can't have perfect love and fear at the same time. It doesn't exist. It's either fear or the love of God. See? Now we can walk in the love of God, and once we start walking into fear, we're forgetting about the love of God and walking into fear, which defeats the promises of God in your particular life, in our lives. In verse 19, we love him because he loved us first. He just threw that in there because he really wants you to know. He loved us first. We didn't make the first move. He did. Okay. 1 Peter. Back to 1 Peter here. And in chapter 5, 1 Peter 5. Look at verse 8. Be sober. you drunkards. Now, be sober and be vigilant. This sober is not actually pointing to somebody drinking too much, but just be sober in your mind. Okay? It could, though. But be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, does it say just the adversary? It makes it a point here to say your adversary, our personal adversary. Like Kim said, God is a personal God, right? Well, he is your personal adversary if you let him. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Did you ever see a rabbit just frozen in his tracks when they hear the lion, the roar of the lion? I mean, I'd freeze in my tracks too, probably, if the lion were that close to me. But that's the fear, see? That's where he freezes people, see? The adversary, he compares them to a roaring lion who shouts out, roars out, and freezes everybody full of fear. Okay, something right now is being roared out all over the world, all over the media, all over our social network pages and all kinds of stuff. Fear, 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 fear. That freezes people, see? And then they do whatever the fear commands them to do. That's not good. It's just fear that kills. Let's turn to Jeremiah. Let's go to the book of Jeremiah. After Psalms. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 49. Look at verse 24. And upon Kerioth and upon Bozrah and upon all the... I'm not going to read the context before it, but it gives you a whole bunch of cities. And upon all the cities of the land of Moab, far or near... Oh, I'm in 48. Sorry. I knew there was a bunch of cities there. 49. Okay, now verse 24. There we go. Damascus, here's another city. Damascus is waxed feeble and turneth herself to flee, and fear hath seized on her. See how fear hath seized on her? It's captured her. To seize something is to capture it. Fear will capture you. Anguish and sorrows have taken her as a woman in travail. That's something, isn't it? To stop right there and think that fear will captivate you. And if you want to be captivated by the love of God. You'll go a lot further and accomplish more. You'll stay healthy and maybe you'll live longer. I don't know. I'd like to think so. All right. And Romans. No, let's go to Psalms first. Psalm 34. Back to Psalm 34. You get rid of fear. How do you get rid of the fear? Even if you have fear, we've all had fear in our lives. Come on. We're honest, right? We've all had some type of fear in our lives at one point or another. Nobody's perfect here. Everybody has had fear. Everybody that has walked this earth has had fear. But how do you get rid of it? That's the key. That's the question. Psalm 34, verse 4. I sought the Lord. This is a Psalm of David. I sought the Lord, and he heard me. And delivered me from how many fears? All my fears. He prayed to God. God heard him. And God delivered David from all his fears. Not just a few. Not just a couple just to test him. It says all his fears. All right, because God is faithful. God will never let us down in that area. In any area. In Romans chapter 12. So, to seek the Lord... what is this thing right here? Bible. What is this? It's a Bible, right? Well, what's the easiest way to seek God?
Word.
Right, so I'm holding in my hand, right? His word. You can't know somebody until you know their word, right? You hear words from somebody, that's how you know them, right? Then you get to know them more, and you hear more words. And then you see intimately what's going on. See? In Romans chapter 12, let's go to Romans. Romans 12, and in verse 1. It's a great section of scripture here because to beseech, it says, I beseech. It's imploring, begging you. Beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. You know what to conform is, to conform, to adapt to. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye, here's another transition. The word but signifies transition. Or is it the word transition or?
Contrast.
Contrast. It's a contrasting statement here. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the what? Renewing of your mind. And your mind is your soul life, how you live and move and have your being, you know. That you may prove, this is the reason, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Okay. So this is basically telling us, listen, guys, put the word on in your mind, okay? Just put the word on in your mind. That way you can prove God. You want to prove God? Believe the word. Put it on in your heart and mind and believe it. That's how you prove God. And he passed the test every time. God does. In Proverbs 29. Psalms, Proverbs. Proverbs 29. And in verse 25. Proverbs 29, 25. And here it is again. The fear of man bringeth a snare. A snare. Did you ever get caught in a snare? Some people might think of it as being caught in a tangled web. All right. Bears might think of it as being caught in a trap. But it's a snare. And it'll slow you down, hold you back. Some snares even kill you. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. I'd rather go that second. I'd take door number two. I don't take door number one. Okay. If you were in a, what was that show? Let's Make a Deal. Okay, you got door number one and door number two, right? And door number one, he says, I'm going to show you what's behind door number one. And there's like fear just kind of shouting out at you, right? A big snare. Door number two, there is safety and peace and love, right? Okay, and he closes that up. Okay, which door do you want? The stupid person's going to take one. Which is most of the world, okay? Because it's intriguing, you know? It's because what everybody's doing. It's what everybody's doing. We'll take door number one. Well, let me tell you, we're not everybody. So... Did I read that verse? 29? Chapter 29 of Proverbs?
25.
Yeah, okay. The fear of man brings a snare. But whoso puts his trust in the Lord, they're going to be safe. Other gods will cause you to fear. You can make other gods in your life. Other gods, turn to Psalm 106. Psalm 106. You can make other gods in your life. For instance, your money can be a god, and it is to a lot of people. Your jobs can be a god to you, and other things can be a god to you. Something that you just worship and you put as a priority and number one on your list. So let's not do that, but look at Psalm 106, verse 36. And they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Their idols served them as snares. See, they serve their idols, and the idols serve them back by capturing them. Okay, put them in fear. In Judges chapter 2, Judges, Joshua judges Ruth. If you can't find it, it's in the beginning of your Bible. Joshua judges Ruth. Judges chapter 2, and in verse 3. Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare unto you. Their gods. See? So if you want to go along with the crowd and serve their gods, they're going to end up being a snare to you. It's a promise. You know, God can't go back on his promises. He says that's what's going to happen. God would have to change every law of the universe to accommodate you, to make you still be, you know, walking in safety and peace and everything else that's good, if you're going to go join the other gods of our companions, okay? We have a lot of friends out there, don't we? We have people that we associate with. But we don't have to associate with our gods. That's for sure. All right. In chapter, or let's go to, Second Kings, I'm going to read you a record and show you that there is a reason not to fear. any influence, Second Kings, any influence, chapter 6, that comes, or any influence that puts something before God is not sometimes, but always from the adversary. Always. Any influence that puts something before God in your life is always sent by the adversary. Always. The devil. 2 Kings chapter 6. Let's read this verses here. It's about eight or nine verses. 10 verses maybe. Chapter 6, verse 8. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, this is what they're planning here, in such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. All right, so verse 10, and the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and he said, don't go to this place. Don't hide out here, because the Syrians are coming down, and that'll be the end. So don't do it. God said, don't do it. So he said, and he saved him. Verse 10, the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned of him of, and saved himself there, not once nor twice. So it happened more than one time. Didn't happen once, not even twice. Could have happened three times, could have happened four. The word doesn't say. So if the word doesn't tell us, we don't know. But we know that it's more than two times that it happened. More than twice. Therefore, verse 11, therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore. Why therefore? What's the therefore? Because it happened more than twice. Right? So the king of Syria scratching his head saying, why is this happening? I'm going down to slaughter them. They're not there. I went down three times, four times, and it's not working. So therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled. He was troubled for this thing. And he called his servants. Listen to this. He called his servants and said unto them, will ye not show me which of us here in this camp, which of us is for the king of Israel? All right, who's the tattletale? Who's telling them that we're coming and taking this route, right, to wipe them out? Who's doing it? There's got to be somebody here. All right, it's a turncoat. Who is it? I won't punish you, I promise. Just raise your hand. I won't punish you. I won't chop your head off. All right, so that's what he's asking right there. Who's the title? And one of his servants, he stood up and said, there's nobody here, my lord, O king. Nobody here is doing that. But Elisha, this is the prophet, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. You know what that is? Elisha's telling the king of Israel, saying, look, he's saying, he even knows what you speak when you're alone in your bedchamber by yourself with nobody around. That's what he's saying. And where do you think he's getting that from? God. Right? So he says, he knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're saying. And he said, go and spy where he is. King Assyria told the servant, go and spy where this man of God is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city. And when the servant of the man of God, here's Elisha, the man of God, right over here, and here's a servant next to him. And it says, because they were going to come after him. So he says, when the servant of the man of God was risen early, he said, I'm going to get up early and just see what's going on out there. Cup of coffee, and a little tea biscuit and all that stuff. And gone forth, he went forth, and behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servants said to him, alas, my master, how shall we do? He said, What are we going to do? Do you think he had a little bit of doubt? Think he was starting to worry a little bit, his servant, right? Because Syria came down, the king of Syria brought his camp, his whole army down, and the servant saw it. And it's just Elisha and his little old servant, right? Because Elisha wanted to cut the throat of, King Assyria wanted to chop off Elisha's head. That's what he wanted to do, so that they wouldn't know what the Syrians were about to do next to defeat Israel. Where did I end up here? Oh, yeah, verse, how shall we do? What are we going to do? Elisha, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Verse 16. And he answered, Elisha answered and said what? What were the first words out of his mouth?
Fear not.
Fear not. Right? First words out of his mouth, fear not. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Now, okay, let me ask you something. Wait a minute. It was just Elisha and his little old servant, right? And he sees the whole area is compassed about with horses and chariots and armies. He didn't see anybody on his side. But Elisha's telling him, fear not. We have more here than they have there. And the servant's kind of scratching his head. But the important words were, Elisha said, fear not. So and that was the word of God. The servant had to put the word of God in his heart and mind and believe it to know that he had safety. Okay. So look at the rest of this record. He said, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And this is what Elisha did. And Elisha prayed. Now he said it. This is an important key. He said it before he saw it. All right? He said it. He confessed what he believed before he even saw it. All right, what is it? Blessed are they that believe first and then believe. Believe first and then see, right? Well, this is what Elisha was doing. All right, he said he prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes. He was praying for a servant. Open his eyes that he may see. And guess what happened? That was a short prayer. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. How much simpler can you get than that, right? Lord, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. Now, would you expect anything different? Okay. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Chariots of fire. Round about Elisha. So, did they end up having more on their side than they did in the Syrians' camp? They sure did. Because Elisha believed, number one, and when he believed, he spoke. When we believe, what do we do? Oh, I believe God, but I don't want to talk about it. Right? Did you ever do that? I believe God, but I'm not going to say anything. What they might think about me. What's a servant going to think of me when I tell them, there's more around here for us than there are for them? He didn't think like that. He believed and he spoke, right? And so, this is an exciting record here, isn't it? Unbelievable. They saw the chariots of fire. And when they came down, when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people. And I pray with blindness. He said, cause them to be blind. God, just Father, just do whatever you have to do, but make them blind so they can't see. And he smote them with blindness. God smote the Syrians with blindness according to the word of Elisha. And actually, what happened after that? If you can't see, you can't fight, right? I mean, you ever in a boxing ring and you don't know where your opponent is? I mean, you won't even make it through the first 5 seconds of the round, right? Pretty simple. The first stage of fear is a troubled heart. John chapter 14. The first stage of fear. Troubled heart. John, Gospel of John. Gospel of John chapter 14. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. John 14 verse 27. Peace, Jesus was speaking here. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Okay. What a great promise that is. It all starts with him. Okay. The basis of all fear is ignorance. If you don't know this verse, how are you going to believe it? Right? Basis of all fear is ignorance. And that fear, remember the boogeyman? You're ignorant of anything other than you know that there's a boogeyman in there. But once you're taught that there's not, then you're not ignorant of that anymore. And the fear what? Goes away. Right? What overcomes fear? Faith. Romans chapter 10. Romans 10. And look at verse 17. 10:17. So then faith cometh by ears. You got ears, right? Hearing. Faith comes by hearing. So pray tell, what do you hear? What do you have to hear to get faith? It tells you. Came by hearing. And hearing, what? By the word of God. What did that servant hear? God's word. He heard the word of God from Elisha. All right. So he heard it and he believed it. That's how faith comes. And it overcomes that fear. The basis of believing, the basis of fear is ignorance. The basis of believing is love. And I'd like you to go to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. I tell you, you can't beat the word of God, can you? John chapter 4 and verse 18. There is no fear in love, no fear whatsoever. If there's no fear, there's what? No fear, okay? The word says what it means, and it means what it says. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And I'd like to close in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4. Go to the beginning of that chapter. You know, Jesus Christ defeated the enemy in every aspect. So if he defeated the enemy, who's the devil, then he defeated fear, right? Because that's what the enemy is all about, fear. So Jesus Christ, and we have everything in Christ in us to conquer that fear. He defeated the enemy, therefore he defeated fear in Ephesians chapter 1, verse, or chapter 4, verse, starting in verse 1. I therefore, Paul speaking here by revelation, giving the word of God, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness. And vocation is the word for calling, of the calling wherewith you are called. What did God call you to do? Right? Even if it's just to speak his word, go ahead and do it. You know, if it's to lead other people to the word, do it. If he called you to sing about him, do it. If he called you to, you know, what, you know what he, I don't know what he called you to do. I don't know what he called me to do, but you have to figure it out, all right, for yourself. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the bond of the Spirit, unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when Christ ascended up on high, he led captivity, what?
Captive.
All right. When you're in captivity with fear, when you say that when Jesus Christ ascended, that was led captive. So the fear was led captive. All you got to do is believe it. And gave gifts unto men. And we're going to stop in verse 8. So, you know, we have everything that we need and that we were called to in Jesus Christ to defeat fear. So we don't have to have fear of anything. If you're afraid of something, conquer it. Get over it, you know? Sometimes you tell people to get over it and they think you're ignorant for saying that, or, you know, you're insensitive. You could be. I mean, there's a way of being insensitive, but just give them the word of God. See? So fear is conquered. Fear is done. See, number one enemy, fear. And we've got Jesus Christ that has already led it captive. So we're safe. All right? All right. God bless.